there to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome to the King's Men. This Friday, August 26th, coming to the end of the summer, and have a beautiful day today, and we're blessed to be in the studio live. We'll have Father Michael DiGregorio, prior provincial for the Villanova province, calling in about 10 after to discuss lay Augustinian spirituality and our upcoming 10th anniversary celebration. So the King's Men are celebrating 10 years of full-time outreach. We've actually been doing it for 12, but we launched this apostolate back on August 28th, 2006 at the Shrine of St. Rita, which actually where Father Michael was rector at the time. Currently the prior provincial, as I said, for the Villanova province, which is the Augustinian province in this area. And he's going to be talking a little bit about our event next Wednesday, August 31st. And we certainly put an invitation out to anyone who's listening who would like to come and learn a little bit more about the King's Men's spirituality, which is very Augustinian. So we'll get into that today. We'll talk about that with Father, and then we'll talk about some of the highlights over the last 10 years. I was talking to my wife this morning, and I asked her, I said, "Hon, what was the some of your highlights from these past 10 years?" There's certainly a lot of lowlights, you know, taking my wife on the road at times, you know, living out of hotels and budget inns and stuff like that. I'm sure they're not high on her list, but we were just reflecting on the journey and where we've been and how we've grown. And we used to have a little old office in New Street, Quakertown, and it was about the size of a closet. And I remember Damian Wargo, my co-founder, and I were in there, and it was a great way to get started. And she was reflecting on how fun those times were, because she would come and help us do our newsletter, and she'd squeeze into that little office, and we'd do our newsletter, and we'd do the whole operation out of that office. And it was just a great memory for her. And we'll dive into more of the memories and some of the highlights over the years. A lot to celebrate. So let's begin with prayer. St. Augustine's Prayer of the Holy Spirit. Again, he's the patron saint of our apostolic work. And we draw on his inspiration, certainly his spirituality for strength. And his words are very comforting and very very meaningful to our apostolate as we strive to build men up as true leaders, protectors, and providers through our education, formation, action, and healing programs. So here's the prayer. And if you know it, pray it with me. If not, I'll pray it for you. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. We pray for all those who on this day may die. Pray in a special way for my brother-in-law, Rich, whose father passed away this week, William Christie. We'll be burying him and celebrating his life on Monday. So please keep that in your prayers and intention, if you can remember my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, Kathy, for their comfort and strength as they deal with death and certainly the death of their father, the patriarch of that family. So, but there's a lot of death this year. We talked about this the last program. We talked about death and the stages of mourning involved a little bit there, and just dealing with it. Not an easy thing to do. So if you'd like to check that program out, you can go to the archives at holyspiritradio.org and listen to that program. I think you'll get a lot out of it. Augustine had a lot to say about death, and certainly he prayed the seven penitential psalms on his deathbed, and certainly a great thing for us to do. But today, this program will not be about death. We'll be celebrating life and the life of this apostle, the King's Men. We're going to talk about our lay spirituality. We're going to talk about the King's Men spirituality, which is very Augustinian. And my guest will be Father Michael DiGregorio, who is the prior provincial for the Augustinian Order here locally, and he's been my spiritual director for a number of years, and he's got wonderful insights into, of course, Augustinian spirituality, but into Augustine and into the journey, the faith journey of all mankind. A lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge about human temperament and the psychology around interactions of emotions of people. There's a lot to process there. He's been a great support to me. So we're going to talk about that a little bit and how Augustine is a great source of inspiration. Rita, certainly St. Rita was a Augustinian who had a great devotion to Augustine and St. Nicholas of Tolentino and St. John the Baptist. If you ever had a chance to go down to St. Rita of Cassia in Philadelphia, the beautiful shrine in South Philadelphia, in the bottom of that church, the crypt area, is three wonderful statues of Augustine, St. John the Baptist, and St. Nicholas of Tolentino, and of course St. Rita in the middle of all that. And when Damian Warger and I launched this apostolate, me full-time, him part-time, back in August 28, 2006, we went before that statue of Augustine, which is a beautiful statue of Augustine holding his heart, and it's aflame. And of course, his heart was on fire for the Lord. Our hearts are restless, as he said in his confessions, and they will remain restless until they rest in you, Lord. So we have this great saint who's just on a journey his whole life to discover this church, who Christ is. For, remember, 30-some years a pagan. And then all of a sudden the church is revealed to him through Ambrose and through his mom's intercession and through all these wonderful people coming together to bring Augustine to the great call that is to be priest and bishop and to serve God in the way he does in the Church of Hippo in North Africa. His heart was just on fire for the truth, on the heart of the gospel, on the heart of the scriptures, and what the Lord was trying to reveal to his people. And so Augustine became a great mouthpiece for his people and for the church. And so we call him Doctor of the Church today, a Doctor of Grace. So he's written so much. There's so much there for us to read. And I've been trying to scratch the surface of those readings. And St. Isidore of Seville once said, if anyone says they've read everything that Augustine wrote, they are lying. So there's just a lot there. And so we can draw on that for our journey, and certainly Augustine is very acquainted with the human journey, certainly a man acquainted with sin. As we know, great sinners become great saints. Well, Augustine was a great sinner, and he was in touch with that element of the human, fleshly desires, if you will. And certainly he warned how this is a danger and that we need to guard against these types of things in our lay journey. And so he warned his men in his parish, in his church, his diocese, of the dangers of the utilitarian philosophy of objectifying people and using them. So, those are things that he understood very intimately, and he certainly tried to teach about virtue and holiness in our life, and so as the King's Men apostolate has adopted him as our patron, we really try to borrow from that knowledge and use it for good. And I'm drawing great strength in my own journey. When we come back after our first break, we're going to talk about the highlights of the past 10 years of this apostolate. And we've been here at Holy Spirit Radio since the very beginning. In July of 2006, we did our first radio program here. And so we have much to celebrate. But before we do that, we're going to talk about Augustinian spirituality. We're going to talk about what that is for lay people. You know, there's a lot of third orders out there. You can join a lot of different confraternities out there, Legion of Mary, there's third order spirituality through the Carmelites, you have the Dominican spirituality, you have the Benedictine spirituality, Ignatian spirituality, Franciscan spirituality, and many, many of these will speak to you, and certainly a lot of elements of all of them speak to me. But there might be one, spirituality that really speaks to you, that's more profoundly true for you in your life. But what is that for you, and how do you discern that? How do you know that? As we talk to Father Michael, we'll get a little better sense for that and how that evolves for us and how you can best get in touch with that for yourself. Father recommended to me a number of years ago, and I mentioned this, I think, the last couple programs, about a wonderful book called Spirituality and Temperament. And I read that book, and I really identified for myself that Augustinian spirituality. It just seemed to be truer for me. And so maybe Father will give some insight into that today. But we want to dive into the lay spirituality. And Father has given me great counsels to what my spirituality is as husband and father. And that's been a great source of strength for me. So when we come back from our first break, hopefully, God willing, Father will be able to break away from all his duties as prior provincial and be able to help educate us and give us further insight into the lay Augustinian spirituality, which we're going to be celebrating a week from this Wednesday, August 31st, at the Augustinian Friary right there in Villanova. You're welcome to come as a friend and supporter of the Kingsmen. Welcome to come this night. And we're talking about why St. Augustine is the patron saint of the Kingsmen. So it's going to be a great night from about 7 to 9:30. We're going to have some food, some fellowship, have a talk by Father Michael, have some prayer time, and we'll really dive more deeply into that lay fraternity of brothers and sisters who we call lay Augustinians today. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hola, soy Megan Coakley de la Oficina para la Nueva Evangelización. Invitamos a todas las damas a unirse a más de 1,000 mujeres católicas en la Conferencia Arquidiocesana de Mujeres Católicas el sábado 29 de octubre en el Santuario de Nuestra Señora de Częstochowa en Doylestown, Pensilvania. La conferencia ofrece sesiones en inglés, español y para jóvenes. La Conferencia de Mujeres Católicas es un evento lleno de inspiración, música, oración y amistad. Venga a celebrar y descubrir el genio femenino. Regístrese hoy en la página web catholicwomensconference.org o llamando al 215-667-2820. El último día de registración es el 18 de octubre.
Well, there you go. We had the Latino commercial for the Catholic Women's Conference coming up here in Philadelphia in October. So if you didn't know what was being said there, well, you know, learn your Spanish. So we're going to have Father Michael join us. Is he on the phone? Father, are you with us?
Good morning.
Good
yes,
morning.
I'm here.
Did you understand that Spanish?
Sure.
You did? What did they say?
If it was an Italian, you'll know. Isn't that the advice you just gave?
That's right. You know Italian because you spent 6 years over in Italy most recently, but you're now back on the stateside as the prior provincial for the Augustinian province, Villanova, and blessed to have you join us today. So thank you.
Great. You're most welcome. I'm happy for the opportunity.
Yeah, we're excited to talk about next Wednesday. But before we do that, why don't you fill us in on your journey, how many years you've been a priest and the whole journey from New York to Philadelphia, where the Lord has taken you. I've talked a little bit about St. Rita of Cascia. Just give us a brief curriculum vitae, if you don't mind.
Well, that'll take up the whole hour.
Okay.
What can I tell you? This year I'm celebrating my 50 years as as an Augustinian.
Praise God.
Since the time I made my first profession in 1966.
Wow.
And 43 years as a priest after that. Originally from New York, went to an Augustinian high school. That was the attraction to the order. And then began a journey with the Augustinians that took me through Villanova University, Washington Theological Union in Washington, D.C. And then after that, and after ordination, many years of ministry, mostly in parishes in the beginning, but then also in some formation work, a few different stints in Rome, working in our general curia, and then lastly, 15 years, happy years at St. Rita's in South Philly before I was asked to go back to Rome and to be a member of our general curia as an assistant general there. I came back to the States in 2013, and the following year was chosen by my brothers to be the prior provincial of the province.
Now, what does the prior provincial duties consist of? A lot of people who don't know or aren't familiar with maybe this terminology, what does a prior provincial do?
I guess in ordinary terminology, I'm the religious superior. So the province is geographically is an extension right now that goes from Massachusetts down to Florida, where we have a number of different communities serving in high schools or in parishes, and we're composed of 160 friars who make up this province, this geographical region. So I'm the leader of the province. I'm the one who's ultimately responsible for the health, well-being, the care of the brothers, the friars, and also oversee the various ministries that we undertake.
Now, how many prior provincials are in the Augustinian order globally?
Well, right off the top of my head, I can't tell you how many provinces we are. Perhaps as many as 40.
Okay.
But there are also other geographical distinctions. There are things called vicariates, which are not yet provinces. They're not big enough to be provinces.
Right.
So there's always someone who's in leadership in each one of these entities. In the United States, there are three of us. There are three different provinces. This one on the East Coast, there's a province headquartered in Chicago, and another province in California. So each of those provinces is led by a prior provincial.
Right. I think it's important. A lot of people don't know about the religious life and just the way things are set up. And you hear these terms may not be maybe very new to people, rather. And just wanted to give them a background. So you're one of three prior provincials in the United States, and there's about 40 of you globally. So kind of like a hierarchy, if you will, kind of like a diocesan. You know, there's a setup similar in religious life, correct?
There is, of course. We're an international community, so we're present in some 43 countries. Our leader is called our prior general. He's assisted by a council of up to six other friars from different regions who advise him, counsel him in leadership of the order. He's responsible for overseeing the 3,000 friars throughout the world, as well as our Augustinian contemplative nuns, and in relationship also with other active communities of men and women that follow the rule of St. Augustine.
Okay, now that's a great bridge there, because so St. Augustine lived in the 4th century and into the 5th century. So he developed a rule for community life. That he surrounded himself with other men, friars at the time. I don't know if they were called friars, but
at the time.
Okay. So we had this community life, and then it became this rule of Augustine. When did the Augustinian order officially begin? That basically adopted that rule for themselves, for yourselves as friars. When did that happen?
Right. The formal organization of the Order of St. Augustine is the year 1244.
Wow.
So from the time of the death of Augustine up until the 13th century, there were individual monasteries that were following the rule of St. Augustine and were ordering their life according to Augustine's inspiration. But in Augustine's time and for a long time thereafter, there was no such thing as an order. That is, there wasn't an organization that bound all of these individuals together in their various monasteries. They were independent monasteries. And in the 13th century, individuals who were living according to the rule of St. Augustine came together at the invitation of the church and became formally united under one single leadership, and that individual was called the Prior General. We followed the model that was already in existence through the Dominicans and the Franciscans. Those are two new creations in the 12th century of mendicant communities. That is, that they earned their keep by begging and by proclaiming the word of God. The church found the need for more individuals to do that. And so the Holy See invited some hermit men who were living according to the rule of St. Augustine to come together and to form themselves according to the example of the Dominicans and the Franciscans. And so we became the Order of Brothers of St. Augustine.
Wow. So that's wonderful. So we have about a little, almost 800 years coming up. This century, we'll come upon 800 years, right? 2144, is that my math right? Or is that 900 years? That'd be 900 years.
Your math is perhaps more accurate than mine.
I think that's 900 years. 2144 will be 900 years. So you're over 800 years. So we have over 800 years from Augustine's death to the formal order. This is good. So we're getting a sense for the rule as adopted in 1244 by the brothers of St. Augustine, which became known as the Augustinians. So tell us a little bit about how the rule of Augustine in the 4th and 5th century, as he adopted for himself, which he just saw as a great need in his own path to holiness, how was that adapted 800 years later to meet the needs of a whole order of priests and friars and brothers and
sure.
lay people?
Well, the rule itself is very flexible. It's a very brief rule, especially in comparison with the rule of Benedict. So eight very short chapters, which really outline the principles and the values that Augustine wanted to put forward. Augustine's desire, after he had been baptized Catholic at the age of 33, was really to find a way of remaining faithful to that commitment that he had made to the Church and to Jesus Christ. And he knew himself well. He knew his weaknesses and his vulnerability, and he realized being particularly a person who was very much connected to other individuals all throughout his life, that the best way for him to be a good Christian was to do so in the company of like-minded believers. And so he decided at baptism to form a community, and that he would live as a layman with other laymen, and together they would continue their search for God. They would share their faith. They would read Scripture together. They would do manual work, and try to be of assistance to people in need. It was a very informal but very determined aspiration that Augustine had. And he would have been content to live the remainder of his life that way. However, some couple of years after he had begun this enterprise, he was visiting a neighboring city, Hippo, and the people called him forward to the bishop to become a priest. That was the way in which things were done in that period of time. And Augustine really had no interest in being a priest. He always saw priesthood as something that was a tremendous burden, because you became responsible for other people. and it was not something that drew him or attracted him. But with the insistence of the people and also of the bishop, he came to see, well, maybe this is God's design for me, and God wants to be served by me, not in the way that I had thought, but in the way that he wants. And so he gave in, but he asked the bishop this. He said, I will be your priest, I will assist you as priest, but I need to continue to live with my community. And so the bishop gave him some land and said, form a community here. And so Augustine continued to live religious life, community life. Eventually, he became the bishop of Hippo, and again continued to live this life that he had chosen with other believers. So from the time of his baptism, when he returned home to North Africa, until his death at the age of 76, he continued to live religious life. At a certain point, moving from one house to another, it became necessary for him to write down his thoughts about religious life, and that's what the rule is. Now, we come into the 13th century, when the order is formed. The rule itself was not adapted. We take the rule just as Augustine had written it.
Okay.
But because it's so brief and so general, life is able to adapt the rule to its own circumstances. So it was not difficult for believers in the 13th century to look to this rule as something that could be applied to their circumstances, though very different from those of Augustine.
And same goes for today, right? 800, 900 years later.
The same goes for today. We still use the exact same rule that has not changed, and we understand certain pieces of it in accordance with the reality of the time. St. Augustine was a pragmatist. He was very much a pragmatist in the very inspiration to form religious life, because he knew that he needed this kind of support and encouragement. And he would not be one who would say the letter of the law is something that must be observed. He asks us at the very end of the rule to live as men in freedom under grace and not as slaves to the law.
So very, very interesting. So we're gonna dive in to the lay spirituality that the Augustinians of today are sharing and trying to, in some respect, bring back. I want to talk about that in a moment. But before we do that, you mentioned to me that Augustine was very impressed as a faithful student of the scriptures with the community of Jerusalem and how the early church formed. And that was really the inspiration, I think you told me, for the rule, correct?
Precisely.
Can you speak to that? Like, what did he see in the coming together and sharing of resources of the early community of Jerusalem in the Acts of the Apostles and whatnot? What about that was he trying to bring about or usher in through this community of lay life?
Yeah, he saw the early Jerusalem community as almost the ideal of living the gospel, where people shared not only life, but they shared their possessions, they shared their dreams, their goals, they shared their discovery of Christ with one another. The example of the Jerusalem community reveals to us this desire for unity, the unity that Jesus prayed for on the eve of his passion. Father, may they all be one. And that was something that really grabbed the imagination of Augustine, and that's what he says to us at the beginning of the rule. Be united in mind and heart on the way to God. That's what we're about as Augustinians, to find the way to communion, because communion is that which leads us to the experience of God. So Augustine's ideal was to replicate. He believed it was possible to replicate in our household or our monastery this witness of the early Jerusalem community, sharing all things together.
Wow. Okay, so now, as someone who spent 6 years in the Curia for the Augustinian order, who was really tasked in the North American area to really ensure that Augustinian spirituality was being fulfilled and accomplished, and that rule being carried forward, you and I have been talking recently about you know, how the spirituality of the Kingsmen, this radio program here, is really, and it just kind of happened organically. It wasn't an intention of me to set out to pursue Augustinian spirituality, but my heart really, you know, bore, you know, through God's grace and inspiration through the Holy Spirit, this apostolate, which has a spirituality that is very similar to Augustine, I see. And we've been talking about how we can start to incorporate the lay spiritual life of Augustine, the spiritual fraternities, rather, as the lay fraternities, and into what we're doing at the Kingsmen, how we can basically share our apostolate with the Augustinian community, but also learn from the Augustinian community about ourselves. So talk to me a little bit, and talk to our audience today a little bit about this lay fraternity, which is kind of like what people would refer to as a third order, maybe in their terminology. Talk to us about how the lay spirituality is available to us as laymen. I think a lot of people think Augustinian, and they don't think that there's really, it's religious life, and it's not really something I can be a part of. But after I read the book that you share with me, that wonderful book written in the new millennium there about lay fraternities of St. Augustine, I saw a hand-to-glove fit there with the Kingsmen, and I wanted to share that on the radio today. So talk a little bit about what they're trying to do there.
Well, Augustinian spirituality is for everyone. It's not something that was designed to order the life of clerics or friars or monks or nuns. Augustine, as I said previously, wrote this rule for lay people with whom he was living. And certainly, it's lay people living together physically in a local community. But as one reads the rule, I think it becomes apparent that the same principles and values that underlie the statements that Augustine makes are applicable in an extended way to people who are united with one another, not physically in the same building, but who are united with one another because of common aspirations or ideals or goals. From the very beginning of religious orders, especially of the mendicant orders, of the Dominicans and the Franciscans and the Augustinians and the Carmelites, there arose third orders, as you properly say. The idea of third order is this. The friars were considered the first order. The nuns were considered the second order. And lay people were considered the third order. So there were lay men and women, married or single, who wanted to share in the spirituality of a religious community. And they were united by trying to live as best they could the principles and the values that the friars and the nuns were living within the convents and the monasteries. They were doing it in their homes. If they were married people, as married people. If they were single, as single people. And that's continued down to today. The third orders continue to exist. Now they're called lay fraternities or secular fraternities, because they speak to the reality of individuals living in the world, in quotes, as opposed to those who live a little bit apart from the world in a monastic or religious context. But the inspiration, as we just said, behind Augustine's rule was the Jerusalem community. And the Jerusalem community was not priests or nuns. It was lay people. Mm. It was the faithful. And the rule is based upon the gospel of Jesus, which is written for everyone. So there will be parts of the rule that certainly speak to the specific reality of individuals sharing a common home, but I think we can also interpret some of those mm-hmm. items as applying to people who share a common aspiration or a common organization beyond the walls of a particular local house.
Yeah. I think that's where the Kingsmen really see this spirituality for ourselves. How is it, explain, you know, that a lot of this has been lost, I think, on the church. I mean, you hear the third orders, and that was always like, oh, that they're very spiritual people, so they become a third order. You know what I mean? and it was just kind of growing up. For me, it was always like, you didn't get a lot of information about this. There's not a lot of marketing. I don't know who the marketing person is for the third orders in the church today, but there wasn't a lot of information. So has it been lost? Is it a time of bringing back these spiritualities, whether Augustinian, Dominican, whatever? Chuck Harvey, who works here at Holy Spirit Radio now, used to be with the Kingsmen, part of the Dominican spirituality, third order. So is there a revival of this, or is it still yet to emerge?
I think there's a renewal.
Renewal.
And just as religious life was renewed after the Second Vatican Council, so I think lay fraternities have been renewed and are undergoing renewal, so that we understand them in a continuum. There's a tradition here, a legacy, but the form has been adapted to the modern world. So we don't use the category so much of third order, which might imply a kind of a hierarchy or a first degree, second degree, third degree.
Mm-hmm.
We talk more about secular fraternities, because the idea of secular is the reality in which individuals, lay individuals, would live. They live in the seculum, in the world. I think there is something new developing, and lay religious life is taking on a different aspect, and we're still discovering that. We're making it, we're working it out. So they still exist. We have fraternities in our province, and other religious communities have them as well. Some are organized in a more developed way than others. Some have been at this for a very long time and have found ways that are more suitable to the present needs of the church, and others are still working toward that. I think it's a moment. We also talk about the present age as the age of lay leadership in the church. It's the day of the laity, and I think something like a secular fraternity offers lay people still today what it has always offered them, and that is a certain form to placing a spirituality in a context. You know, to live the life of the gospel is an exciting thing. Some individuals find it useful to have a structure to help them live their life. And I think these fraternities can provide that kind of a structure.
Yeah.
And also provide a sense of community for those who may not find that in their typical local parish.
Well said. So you bring up, and I know in that wonderful little book on lay Augustinian spirituality, the day of the laity. I've heard a priest say this before. A priest in the Diocese of Scranton said this to me. He said to me, the time of the priest is over. It's the time of the laity. And I at first I didn't know how to take that, because no one's trying to say, nor are you trying to say that God is done using priests. Of course, that's not the case. Of course, there will always be priests, and we need priests. But when you say the day of the laity, it doesn't mean that we're minimizing or reducing the role of priests, correct?
No, of course not. And that's precisely I think the distinctions that's made, we're talking about the role of the priest.
Right.
And the priest has a role to play in terms of spiritual leadership, in terms of providing sacramental life.
Of course.
But that's not all that the church is, that there are many other dimensions to the church that depend upon the contribution of people who are in the midst of the world and who bring the gospel into the workplace, which the priest and the religious may not as easily be able to do.
And it seems to me that St. John Paul II really started to usher in, and obviously someone who was a part of Vatican II would know this, as he was, he really started to usher in writings on lay life, lay apostolic exhortations or whatever. And it seems to me that this is, we're just beginning to, as you said, discover, you know, this and live it. And this, the spirit of Vatican II is still evolving, where the laity are becoming more part of this body of Christ, as Augustine always talks about, Jesus the head, and all of us, priest, layman, you know, single, religious, we're part of that body. And so you can't have one focus. It needs to be both. And so here we are talking about lay fraternities today. If you're excited about this, it's something that your listening audience here is excited about. Next Wednesday, August 31st, the Kingsmen are going to be celebrating our 10th anniversary. We're going to be doing it in Villanova at the Friary. Is it correct to say the Augustinian Friary?
Correct.
Okay. And we'll give that address before the program's over. But if you'd like to come learn more about the Kingsmen and who we are, but also learn about Augustine and the rule and this lay fraternity that Father Michael DiGregorio, my guest today, has been talking about, we'd love for you to come out next Wednesday. And I'm really excited about this. It'll be from 7 to 9 p.m., 9:30 or so. We'll wrap up. We'll have some food. We'll have some fellowship. And we'll have a talk by Father Michael. But we really want to share this spirituality, which is, I claim for the Kingsmen, this Augustinian spirituality, I claim that. We want to share who we are. And so how are we going to do this next week as far as bringing friars together? What is the Augustinian vision for, and I know you're still working this all out, but for the province, what is the vision, the plan to bring, as Augustine said, the laity into the fold as he had in the beginning, now into the religious structure which you find yourself head of?
I think we would look friars and laity collaborating together, trying to live according to Augustine's inspiration of gospel life, and having a mission to the world, that we exist for service of the church and service to society. But in our particular manner, according to our particular style. And just as any other Christian spirituality, the spirituality of St. Augustine emphasizes certain values and certain characteristics of the gospel. And that's what I hope to be able to develop a little bit next Wednesday night when we talk about exactly what Augustinian spirituality upholds.
Right. I was very inspired by the lay fraternity explanation. The writing of it was beautiful, the little book that you share with me. And it's just exciting because, I don't know, I guess for me, and maybe there's a lot of us out here listening today, you know, we love Jesus, we love the Lord, we want to be a faithful Catholic. But we find ourselves, as you said, sometimes without a home within the church. Even though the church is our home, we find ourselves without a home. And it seems to me that these spiritualities become like a home for us. Once we identify, you know, kind of a similarity in our temperament, as you shared that wonderful book with me years ago, and we see that these teachings and the rule and the sharing of lay life with the priests, and it becomes a wonderful blending of the gospel, and it becomes a path of guidance for me anyway. Is this the hope for those that join lay fraternities, that it be a path, a way to become more like Christ and to way to holiness?
Right. one of our great spiritual leaders, who was a great student of St. Augustine, summed up all of this by saying, a person becomes an Augustinian in order to be a good Christian. And I think that would probably be true, likewise, of any other spirituality in the church. A person becomes a Dominican in order to be a good Christian. Mm. That is, that this gives direction to my Christian life. It gives shape to my Christian life. It helps me to keep focused on basic elements of the gospel. So what you said is precisely the case, that what we're about is trying to live our Christian faith authentically, to be faithful to it, and this is the context that really helps us to do that.
Beautiful. And so as we're coming to the end of the program here, next 5 minutes, I appreciate you being on the whole program with us. How does one know that Augustinian spirituality is, like, is there some sort of light bulb? Like, you knew that you were interested in the Augustinians because you went to an Augustinian high school and you were experienced the friars, and that was very attractive to you. But how do you know that the spirituality, and maybe this is a little more than we have time to get into, but maybe you could just scratch the surface. How do you know that the spirituality is right for you?
Well, I think attraction is the word. And it's certainly something that Pope Francis has talked to us about. How do we communicate the gospel? I think we communicate it through attraction. If I come to learn something about Augustinian spirituality and I see what are the things that really became important for Augustine and that he emphasizes, if that resonates with me, if that touches something in me, then maybe this is a fit. There's quite a variety of spiritualities in the church. They're all Catholic. and they exist because their founders have tried to address specific realities or specific needs. Those match the needs that we also have in life. You can't possibly experiment with all of them, but if you find one that seems to be right for you, then I think maybe it's something worth trying.
So one spirituality is not better than the other?
I would not say it's better than the other, no. No, not at all. It's like saying, is one gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, better than the other?
Well, we know John's gospel is better than the other
ones. They all speak to us of Christ, and they all lead us to Christ.
Amen. Amen. I'm just teasing you. So as we wrap up the program here, so we got about 30 commitments next week. I'm excited to share that with you.
Great.
We're going to have a nice gathering. Give the address out and give us a sense for where we are related to the Villanova campus.
Sure. The precise address is 214 Ashwood Road, and it's right. The Villanova campus is at the intersection of Route 30 and Route 320. And Ashwood Road is just off Route 320, right alongside the Villanova campus. It's not on the campus proper. It's just a block over. Right. Nowadays, people with GPS would not have a difficulty at all.
Yeah, basically, when you get off 476, if you're coming down the Blue Route, it's pretty much the first main intersection you come to. I think there's one right prior to it, but the one where the bank is right there, you kind of turn left before you get to the campus. But
correct.
If anyone needs to get there or needs more directions or needs the address again, they can contact me, mark@thekingsmen.org. With about 4 minutes left, we're gonna transition to just some final thoughts here. But as you share with me that book, Spirituality and Temperament, and if I'm saying that right, it might have that backwards, but I really connected, my heart connected with Augustine. Now, you told me that, you know, if you want to differentiate Augustinian spirituality, say, from Dominican or Franciscan or Ignatian or Carmelite, that they're all kind of distinct, whereas a Dominican's very academic in its pursuit, and like you said, the Word of God in the explanation of that is very important as teachers, order of preachers. So how did you differentiate Augustinians, say, from them? What would be the defining line between those five main orders, if you could briefly share that?
Well, I would leave it to the others to talk about what their particularity is. For us, our particularity, specificity, is trying to get to the heart. It's the balance, actually, between the head and the heart, between knowing and loving. And for Augustine, the core is really the core of the gospel. Love God, love your neighbor. That's what it's all about. So it's very simple, essentially. And a spirituality wants to try to help us flesh that out and say, well, this is what love of God and love of neighbor really mean in practice on a day-to-day basis. So that's what we seek to achieve. That's the program that we follow.
Okay. I don't know if we're getting cut off with an Amber Alert, but we'll keep going. So that's beautiful. So if any of what we shared today it inspires our listening audience, and we're all over the Chester County area, 1420 Coatesville, and we're all over Bucks County, Philadelphia, if you're inspired, you'd like to learn more about Augustinian spirituality, you don't necessarily want to come to be a part of the Kingsmen, that's fine. Come next next Wednesday, August 31st, we're going to be celebrating 10 years of this lay apostolic work called the Kingsmen. So you'll learn a little about the Kingsmen, but we're going to learn mostly about lay spirituality through the Augustinian lens. And Father Michael DiGregorio, my guest today, prior provincial for the Augustinian province of Villanova, will be sharing some thoughts. We're going to have some prayer time too, right, Father? We're going to pray together?
We will, yes.
Good, and we'll bring some wine and cheese, and we'll have a good old time. So thank you for spending time with us today from your busy schedule. Appreciate it so much, and bless the rest of your day until we see you next week. Thanks again.
Okay, you're most welcome. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity, Mark, and I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday.
Oh, very good. Well, thanks, Father. I'm gonna close out with some highlights from the 10 years of the Kingsmen. 13 sexually oriented businesses have closed. It's in the last 10 years. Over 3,000 men have come to our Into the Wild outdoor experiential retreat weekend. Praise God. Over 50 men's groups currently in 29 dioceses. We're working in 4 continents and 3 countries. This is a gift to the Holy Mother Church. And you know what? I have to give all praise and thanks to God. But I have to give thanks to Holy Spirit Radio, because it's been through Catholic radio that we've been able to reach people all across the world. So we're so blessed that Dale and Jane have invited us to be a part of the family here. And in the last 30 seconds, we just want to just ask you for your prayers, not only for our apostolate, but for Holy Spirit Radio, because this is able to help us reach so many. And we couldn't have done it without them. So as we close out our time, we say thanks to Holy Spirit Radio. We say thanks to you, our listening audience, for supporting what we do. And again, August 31st, next week from 7 to 9:30, thereabouts, 214 Ashwood Road, Villanova. Join me and Father Michael DiGregorio and all our Kingsmen friends and some Augustinian friars to learn more about why St. Augustine is the patron saint of our apostle. God bless you.